Trust and obey. For there's no other way than to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. That's right. Making much about the King. Got to remind ourselves of that. We can make much about the thing, or we can make much about the King. And oh, what a difference it makes in our life when we make much about Him. Amen? Just being willing to be made, willing to do whatever it takes to walk and go and do what He's called us to do. Something that we want our testimony to constantly be being molded toward. Make me willing to be made willing. Remember what we said. I've shared these things with you before. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 in verse number 7. Paul says to Timothy that may he consider, Timothy, consider the things that He had spoken to him. That's our responsibility. That when God speaks to us, it is our responsibility to consider it. The word consider has the idea to ponder. It has the idea to think on. It has the idea to ruminate and reflect upon. And as we pointed out this morning in that 8th parable of Matthew 13, that's what the scribe was to do. He was to consider. That's why he was set apart as a scribe. He was to think. He was to think what he was writing about. He was to think so that he could teach. He could translate it over. That was his responsibility. And the sad thing is many scribes stopped at that point. They stopped at the thinking side and the considering side, but didn't take it the step further of actually being a disciple that was instructed. A disciple then practically lives in what they are considering, what they are understanding. Now, the thing about it, God's got to give us the understanding of it. That's out of our control. And that's what Paul told 2 Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 7. He says these words. Matter of fact, just turn there, look at it. It just makes more sense if we look at it. 2 Timothy 2. I'm going to just focus in on 7 for right now. Previous to that, 2 Timothy chapter number 2 in verse number 7. This is something that we want to really ponder in relationship to our responsibility with anything that we glean or hear or read that is eternally recorded and written by way of the Word of God. Paul says to Timothy, consider what I say. That word means to think about, to ponder, to meditate upon. You meditate upon this, Timothy. You think about it. You let this sink in deep to you. You become the scribe that is thinking about these things. You are a teacher of the Word. You are a teacher of the oracles of God. It is your responsibility to put yourself in position to think about this, to ponder it, to not let it get away from you, that you take hold of it and you work it in your mind and you let it work within your heart and you let it work in your life. And then he says this, which just gives clarity to these things when he says this is your responsibility to think about it, but it's God's responsibility to give you the understanding of it. That's when he says, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. That's where we put ourselves in position to really be the student, the scribe, the student of the Word, that we could be in place for God to give us the understanding. We cannot obtain the understanding that only God can give, but we can't expect God to give us the understanding if I'm not considering what I need to understand. Does that make sense to you? If I'm not in the position to really be thinking about these things and letting this just become a part of my everyday fabric, how can I expect God to give me understanding that I'm not paying attention to anything that He's doing? That's the idea. We've all been around people. We've all been around people that paid attention to what we were saying. And when people want to pay attention to what you're sharing with them, you want to pour more into them. But if they could care less what you got to say, You don't want to invest a lot of time with them. You don't want to spend a lot of your effort and your energies and pouring into them because they could care less. You know, you've been around, like one of your kids, for an example. You've been trying to show them something, share something with them, and they could just care less of what you, they just there. They, it's going in one ear and out the other. And you just get on out of here until you're ready to learn this or ready to see it. We'll talk about it later. Well, that's what Paul is saying here. Timothy, that's your responsibility to say, God, I'm here. I want to know this. I want to know it. And I want you to teach me. And I know I can't understand it unless you give it to me. But remember, when God gives us understanding of anything, that comes with a responsibility in itself, is that we become stewards with what He gives us so that we can what then give that away. That we can share that. And that's just the process of us being students of the Word, teachers of the Word, doers of the Word, and givers of the Word. That's our whole objective. And the Scriptures teach us that the blessings of God is in the doing. It's in the doing of the Word. It's just not that we have a head knowledge of this stuff, but what we have a head knowledge of has an effect upon our heart so that we can practically walk it out. And then when we walk it out, we don't ever walk it out just for ourselves. We walk it out to invest it and share it with others. That's when it becomes a stewardship to us, that we get to help other people see what we see. We get to help them see how we got to that place, that we did position ourselves to consider what God said. And then God opened our understanding and gave us the ability to walk in it. And then He gave us the ability to share it with other people so that they could position themselves to hear from Him, walk with Him, and then go share what they know of Him with others. And that's just the daily life of the disciple, as that God teaches us, we walk in that teaching, and then we want to live in such a way of how can I effectively then communicate that teaching with people around me, so that they can see Him how I see Him. Not that they follow me, but I can point them to what He's doing. I can point them to who He is. I can point Him to what He's about and how He's worked in my life. And that's really the whole objective of us walking with the Lord, is so that we can point other people to Him. We can point people to Him. Not, you come follow me and I'll pull you away to what I'm doing. No, if you're going to follow me, I'm going to introduce you to Jesus. If you're going to follow me, I'm going to introduce you to what He's doing. If you're going to follow me, I'm going to introduce you to what He's doing in my life, but not just what He's done in my life, what He's done historically in other people's lives that lines up with what He's doing in my life right now. That goes back to what we read this morning in Matthew 13 when He says the good steward brings out the treasures of the old and the new. What God historically has always done, which is what He is currently doing within my life actively and personally right now. And that's what set Jesus apart from all these other teachers, is that they said Jesus taught with authority. He didn't teach like the other scribes. All the other scribes just taught what everybody else said, what everybody else done. Jesus taught personally, intimately, what the Father was doing in Him and through Him and for Him right now. And you see, that's where we roll over into Christ, is that we're teaching not only what He's done, not only what He's doing, but what we foresee Him going to do in our daily journey in life and how He wants to impact other people's lives. And that takes us back to that Psalm 105. Look, if you would, Psalm 105. This psalm actually is taken, the first 15 verses of it is pulled out of a psalm David wrote. More than likely, this particular psalm, starting in verse number 16, is even in the language of it. I'm not sure how some of the translations read, but in this particular translation, verse 16 says, moreover. Let's take it a step further. Let's continue on where David left off. And that is over in 1 Chronicles 16. If you don't have to turn there. But you can put in the front part of this psalm, 1 Chronicles 16, verses 8 through 22, is identical to what David had written and gave it to the sons of Asaph to be sung as a psalm. Well, this psalmist took that, exactly what David penned up to this point. It's just a historical reference to what has been taking place in Genesis, is going to be brought out in the following verses of Psalm 105, beginning in verse number 16. So it's just a great historical reference to whoever wrote this, some Levite who took what David said, penned it, made it personal into his own life of what God had done in the past, is that God's given him insight as a teacher, as a scribe. He gave him that insight so that he would give him understanding how to walk in it. And then not only just to walk in it, but then to share it with everybody else. And this is where Ephesians, for an example, is. Ephesians chapter 5, 18 says that we're to be filled with the Spirit of God, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. This is exactly what the scriptures that a spirit-filled man and woman, boy or girl, is this is how we're to live. That is, we're to live overflowing, spilling over what God has been pouring into us. And we're to communicate in a language to other people that is in harmony with the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that all bring rejoicing and celebration and delight and glory and honor to what is who God is, what God's done, what He's doing, what He's doing in my life, and what His plans are doing. You know, those Ebenezers we talked about this morning, those stones of faithfulness that just constantly remind us of just how gracious and how good and how glorious and how gentle God's been with His people, with His covenant people, with the people of the world, with our lives. Of just His faithful promises of doing exactly what He said He was going to do time and time again, regardless how they responded, in spite of how they acted, in light of some of the foolish things they did, God remained faithful and God remained true to His Word. And He remained true to what He promised He would do. And He consistently brought out His purpose and His plan. And He's going to keep doing that. And we can go back and we can count on that, that He's not dependent upon me. He's not dependent upon us. He is going to fulfill His purpose. But the neat thing is He invites us to join Him. He invites us to walk with Him. And oh, the rich treasures and the blessings that come when we join in with Him. And this is what David's doing. This is what the psalmist has done, how he pulled from what David said and said this was such a glorious thing that I want to rewrite it word for word exactly how he wrote it when he says, let's make a sacrifice of praise. Let's show God's praise in the earth. Let's sing God's praise before His people. Let's share His praise and what He's done. Let's shine forth His praise with rejoicing and celebrative Spirit, let's seek His praise, His presence and His power and His purpose and His promises that God is faithful. As Hebrews 11:6 says, he that believes God must believe that He is God and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You see, to approach God, you got to believe that He is. And if He's God, we're not. He is. And we come to Him knowing that we're going to find Him and that we're going to find His ways. That we're going to find His promises, that we're going to find His purpose in the earth, and that He is ready to give it to us. See, we just want to be in position to consider it. Then He gives us the understanding so that we can walk in it, so then that we can go shine forth and share it with the world around us. Verse number 5 says, remember His marvelous works. That is saying you go back to it so that you can talk about it. That you can remark and that you can mark it down, that it becomes something that you frequent all the time, to consider something, to ponder something, to remember something, you got to frequent it. You got to go back to it. You got to keep going back to it. And you'll never go wrong going back to what God's done in the past and how He's worked with His people. Time and time and time again, we find the people of God using that word remember. Remember what He has done. Because God has caused these things to be remembered. Look in Psalm 111. This is not by accident that we can remember these things. It's not by accident that we have them recorded. This is for a purpose that God has logged and chronicled and made a everlasting record of His works upon the earth. It has such value to us. And He says in verse number 1 of Psalm 111, "Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly, in the gathering of the upright and in the congregation," like we're doing tonight. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to speak of what He's done. What am I going to praise? What am I going to talk about? The works of the Lord. And what are they? They are what? They are great, studied by all who have what? Who have delight or pleasure in. That word study means to frequent, to go back to again and again, to go over again and again. You cannot overwork the truths of the Word of God. You can't revisit this book that we're reading through Genesis too much. You can't look at Joseph's life of being sold by his brothers to these band of traitors. You know, you had the Midianites and you had the Ishmaelites. And now you have a bidding war going on. Who's going to pay for what and who's going to do? And they're going to capitalize and make money. All this was done by God's hand. At the time, it was hard for them to recognize and see it. You see, but the more we look into it, And watch what God does and remember and frequent it, we see God's hand involved in it. And as Psalm 105 is going to bring it out, that this was God at work. But He says that, studied by all who have pleasure, frequent it, revisit it. You wear a path out to it. You go back to it again and again. Y'all got any paths around the house wore out where you walk on a pretty regular basis? Where you're going in and out, you know, in certain areas, high traffic areas in your house, wherever it may be, carpet that you have or whatever, where everybody walks and goes, because it's been frequented and there's high traffic on it, you wear a path out to it. That's exactly what that means. Wear a path out to the works of God. Frequent it. Go over it again and again and again and again and again and again. That they never escape your memory. That you remember them. Verse number 3, and He says these very things. His work is honorable and it is glorious. And His righteousness endures forever. He has made His wonderful works to be what? Look, you frequent it, you're going to remember it. He's made it possible. So it's not a thing that we can use the excuses that we often do. I just can't remember. We can. God's made them rememberable. He's made them remarkable. And it's not that like the scribe. Remember how we talked about this morning? The scribe was the one who marked up the word, but the word didn't have necessarily a mark upon him. This is where the frequenting and the studying comes in. It's not that we can mark our Bibles, but our Bibles have a mark on us because we keep going to it and we keep reading it and we keep seeking it and we keep seeking His purpose in it and His face in it. And it begins to change and touch our lives in a way that our lives conform to that mark of what God's done. And it becomes who we are. It becomes a part of what we are. And God has caused that to be remembered. And there's no more wonderful work on the planet than the work that God's done in and through and with His people throughout time in what He's doing in us right now. So look back, if you would, at Psalm 105. Psalm 105. Verse 5 says, remember His marvelous works, His wonderful works. He's caused them to be remembered. The only way to do that, we got to consider it. We got to frequent it. We got to walk in it. And God's also got a principle, if you give it away, you get to keep it. He's just made it that way. So that's our responsibility, to get in it. His responsibility is to teach us. Our responsibility is to walk in what He teaches us. And then His responsibility is to ensure we can remember what He teaches so that we can then take upon the responsibility of giving away what He's taught us. And then He takes on the responsibility to keep giving back what we give away. It's just a neat process again and again. We position, He teaches. He gives understanding, we walk in. And then what we walk in, we give away. And when we give it away, He just keeps giving it back to us so that we can keep giving it away. And this is a supernatural work of what God does. So He says His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. Not just what He's done, but what He has said. Not just what He's done, not just how He's worked, but what He has said to go along with what He's done and how He's worked. Because God always gives clarity to His work. So that when He works with the clarity that He gives on His work, you know who's done it, and it just didn't happen by accident. So His judgments are His ways, His wonders, His wisdom, so that when we see His work, we could identify this is the work of God. It's not that we wonder if God did it. It's not, are we clueless to God did it. But God's given us judgments, declarations, statutes, ways so that we can identify His personal touch on every work that He's done. It's trademarks that He puts on it. So that when we have this clarity that comes from His mouth, that then we see the hand of God, that we're not in question, was this a God thing? Is this what God's done? Did God create this? Did God do this? Did God do that? Well, He's spoken things, commanded things, given us things so that it sheds light on what He's done. So it illuminates His work and that nobody else can get credit for what He's done. And that's just a neat thing of why it's so important to know what He has said and why He said it. So that His work becomes clearer and clearer in our lives. So that we can discern His work. That we can discern His voice. That's why other Psalms teach us, like in Psalm 10, it says that when you're around somebody and they are talking, but you can't pick up the voice of God in their language. You can't discern God within them. You know you're dealing with a fool and you're not dealing with a righteous person. You're not dealing with somebody that speaks for God. You're dealing with somebody that doesn't know Him. Look in that. I think it's Psalm 10. It might be Psalm 14. But look in Psalm 10. Let me show you. Psalm 10. This is why we are to speak of His judgments and His ways and how He's worked. He says in Psalm 10, in verse number 3, the wicked, that would be people that are not right, and they're not right because they're wrong, and they're wrong because they're not right with God, what it all boils down to. For those that are not right with God, what do they boast of? Their boast is what they're feeling, what they're thinking, their heart's desire, their heart's pleasure, their heart's ways. But see, a man that what? Studies the things of God, finds pleasure in the things of God. That's why he frequents Him. But a wicked person finds no pleasure in the ways of God, so there is no evidence of God in their communication. There's no evidence of God in their conduct. There's no evidence of God in their compassions. There's no evidence of God in how they think and live and what draws them. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. That is, a person that's not right with the Lord is going to bless those things that are not right with God. If that makes sense to you. when a person is wrong with God, they find pleasure in things that are wrong. And that's the people that they elevate. That's the people that they're going to commend. And they will renounce that touch or that work of God in somebody else's life, and they will pass it off as something as being bigoted. You know, like in our modern day, people that take a stand for the things of God are seen as people who are bigots and troublemakers and the problem with everybody. If you just get rid of all that junk in the world, everybody would be at peace and people could get along and people wouldn't have trouble with one another. Well, that's just a lie. That's just wrong, because it's not right with God. But that's how people who are wrong think. They think wrongly, and they elevate wrong things in life. They treasure the wrong stuff. And then verse number 4 says, "The wrong, the wicked, in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts." God is in none of his thoughts. God is not in control of his thought process. God is not involved in the way that he thinks. God is not active in instructing and guiding and teaching and leading in that thought process. And you see, when a person doesn't have God actively involved in their thought process, they can't identify the works of God. It's impossible. So we got to have God actively involved in our thoughts and the way we think, so that we can have clarity on the work of God. Because if that's not going on in my mind, in my heart, in my ways, I can't see the wonderful works of God. And if I can't see the wonderful works of God, I can't identify God's hand, because God's judgments are not part of my life. His ways are not part of my life. So that's why the wicked, who are simply not right with God, don't see him. They don't see him in everyday life. They don't see him at work in people or in work in circumstances and situations. They don't see him in the womb of a mother. They don't see him in the seed in the ground. They don't see him in the fruitfulness of everyday life. God has surrounded us with his wonderful works of how it takes a seed to be planted in the ground for a harvest. And how the Bible teaches us that the sons of righteousness, the sons of God, are seed that have been planted in the earth by God. And everywhere God plants a seed, Satan plants a counterfeit of a false seed, of a tare, as the parable of Matthew 13 teaches about the tare and the wheat. It's all around us at all times. But when you know God's hand, because you know God's voice, because you know God's ways, because you frequent God's works and how he's worked and what he said, you see him in every aspect of life. You can't help but see him, because he's so active in every facet of your life, in every fabric of your being. But when you're not right with him, it's just the opposite. You elevate things that God's not in this fallen world. And you highlight and treasure and magnify all the wrong things in life, and make much out of things, and make nothing out of the king, just because God's not involved in your thinking. And man, we live around people every day. We work with people. We rub elbows with people. But you see, they'll never know anything about him if I'm not sharing what I know about him. You see, that's how God enters in. That's how the gospel enters in, with us declaring his wonders and his works, even among those who renounce his work. Because the power is going to be in the gospel to penetrate that darkness and transform their lives, just like he did with us, to change them, that now God gets in them by way of Jesus, and all of a sudden his wonders become something marvelous to them, that they could see something that they never saw before. Why? God takes over inside of their life. That's what is Romans 12, 1 and 2 teaches. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you" what? "Present your bodies, living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. Be not conformed. Don't let your circumstances shape you. He puts him in a position not to be shaped by his circumstances, but to be transformed by the renewing of his mind, that he can what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's exactly what God is doing with people like you and me today, is that he's putting us in position and sending us in places before others, so that we could be in a position to bring other people into his perfect, good, and acceptable will. And that's his word is what's going to separate us from everything else in this old world. That's what's going to prove us to be different. And that's what's going to prove we are unlike everybody in the world. What we're hearing and communicating, that is coming from God. That's the only thing separates us from everybody in this world. What we're hearing and communicating from the Lord. That's what proves his good and acceptable will upon this earth. People who are being transformed and renewed in their mind because they're hearing and walking in and sharing what God's put in them. That's the picture. That's what we see here. He sends us before people to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will. Nothing else is going to make us stand out and be different other than what Jesus is doing in and with and through us to prove us refined, separate, unlike, different from everybody else, based on what he's putting in us, what we're communicating, and how that is being proved every day in our life to be true, exactly how he has said it. Amen? That's how we're to live from day to day. So, God gets you where he want to get you, amen? Even when you didn't want to get there, he's able to get you there. And that's what we can rest assured of. That he's going to get us right where he wants us. He's going to place us right where he wants to plant us. And then he's going to use us by speaking life into us. That's going to make us unique and different from everyone else. To prove, not follow me, not trust me, but trust in the one who's speaking to me, who's given me life and his message. Amen? Father, we thank you tonight. We bless you. Thank you for your help, for your insight, for your truth. We just want to be in position that we can ponder it, that we can perceive what you give us, and that we can proclaim it each and every day in ways that just prove your good and acceptable and perfect will. We want to walk in what you say. In Jesus' name, amen. Love y'all. Y'all have a good night.